There's a woman standing at the edge of a busy Roman forum, though nobody seems to notice her. The marble glows under the late afternoon sun, and merchants shout over one another while the senators move in clusters like migrating birds. The air smells of oil and dust and ambition. Near the steps of the basilica, a young man holds a sealed tablet in trembling hands, knowing that whatever decision he makes in the next hour will alter the course of his family's future. He feels urgency pushing at his ribs. He feels pride urging him forward. He feels fear whispering that hesitation will cost him everything. And then, in the quiet space between breaths, he senses something else, a stillness, almost imperceptible. And when he turns, he sees her. She's not dressed like the others. She doesn't carry a weapon, and she doesn't make a spectacle. In one hand, she holds a small lamp, though it's still daylight. In the other, she carries a mirror. It's polished, but unadorned. A serpent coils gently around her arm. It's not threatening, it isn't striking, it is ever watchful. She doesn't command him to act, she only asks that he look. Her name is Prudentia. Prudentia isn't among the earliest Roman deities, nor does she thunder across epic poetry with dramatic mythic battles. She belongs to a different category of divinity, one that emerged from the Roman tendency to personify virtues and grant them sacred presence. Alongside Justitia, Fortitudo, and Temperantia, Prudentia becomes a divine embodiment of an ethical quality that the Romans considered foundational to civic and personal life. Her name derives from the Latin prudentia, meaning foresight, practical wisdom, or even discernment. The term itself is related to providere, which means to see ahead. Prudence in this sense, it's not timidity, it's really vision. It's the capacity to perceive consequences way before they unfold. The Roman religious imagination was deeply intertwined with civic life. Unlike the more narratively rich mythologies of Greece, Roman religion often emphasized ritual precision, social order, and the maintenance of Pax Deorum, or the peace with the gods. In this context, virtues weren't abstract ideals. They were stabilizing forces that ensured the endurance of the state. Cicero, writing in the 1st century BCE, defines prudentia as the knowledge of things to be sought and avoided. For him, prudence stands at the head of the cardinal virtues because without discernment, courage becomes reckless and justice becomes rigid cruelty. Prudence moderates and it directs. The Romans inherited much of their philosophical vocabulary from the Greeks, especially through the translation of Greek thought into Latin categories. The Greek concept most closely aligned with prudentia is phronesis, which is often translated as practical wisdom. Aristotle, in the Nicomachean Ethics, describes phronesis as the intellectual virtue that enables one to deliberate well about what is good and beneficial for a human life. It's not theoretical knowledge, it's more like embodied judgment. When this Greek philosophical concept entered Roman moral discourse, it found fertile ground. Roman identity was built upon disciplina or discipline, gravitas, and pietas, values emphasizing restraint, seriousness, and duty. Prudentia became the virtue that held these in balance, ensuring that devotion to family and state did not tip into fanaticism or blindness. The cosmology of the Roman world was layered and pragmatic. The gods were powerful, but they were also woven into daily life through ritual, augury, and law. Omens were read in the flight of birds. Sacrifices were performed with exacting attention to detail. The future wasn't considered fully fixed, but it was believed that signs could be interpreted and that wise action could align human intention with divine will. In such a worldview, prudence was sacred because it mirrored the divine capacity to see beyond the present moment. To be prudent was to participate, however faintly, in a high order of perception. Prudentia's iconography reflects this theological depth. The mirror that she carries invites self-examination. The serpent, long associated with wisdom and renewal, suggests cyclical awareness and attentiveness. The lamp illuminates what's not yet visible, reminding us that foresight requires light brought intentionally into darkness. In later Roman art and coinage, especially during the imperial period, Prudentia appears as a stabilizing emblem. Emperors such as Marcus Aurelius, who was steeped in Stoic philosophy, cultivated the image of wise and measured rule. Although Prudentia herself didn't have a vast mythic corpus, her presence as this personified virtue reinforced the ideal of leadership guided by reflection rather than impulse. The Stoic philosophers, whose thought profoundly shaped Roman elite culture, emphasized living in accordance with nature and reason. Seneca writes that no man can live happily who has regard to himself alone and transforms everything into a question of his own utility. Prudence, in Stoic terms, required awareness of interconnectedness and the long view of consequence. The cosmology underlying Stoicism posited a rational principle, the Logos, permeating the universe. To act prudently was to align oneself with this rational order, rather than to be driven by uncontrolled passion. This doesn't mean that the Stoics rejected emotion, but they sought to prevent emotion from distorting judgment. And in this sense, Prudentia becomes more than caution. She's integration. She stands at the intersection of intellect and action, memory and anticipation. The Romans, who valued mos maiorum, or the customs of the ancestors, understood that wisdom involved honoring the past while navigating the present. Prudence required remembrance as much as foresight. Livy, chronicling Rome's early history, repeatedly frames the survival of the Republic as dependent upon measured decision-making rather than rash heroics. Time and again, stories emphasize leaders who pause, who deliberate, and who choose the course that preserves communal stability over personal glory. This isn't accidental storytelling. It encodes an ideology in which the endurance of Rome depended upon self-restraint and strategic thought. And yet Prudentia isn't cold calculation. She doesn't extinguish passion. She refines it. Without prudence, courage becomes violence. Without prudence, generosity becomes waste. And without prudence, love becomes possession. Her lessons are thus subtle and demanding. She asks us to slow down in moments of intensity and to ask what the future version of ourselves might wish we had chosen. She invites us to hold a mirror to our motives, not to shame them, but to understand them. She reminds us that wisdom isn't dramatic. It rarely draws any form of applause. It often looks like some form of restraint. In a culture that celebrates immediacy, Prudentia feels almost quite radical. She teaches us that delay can be sacred, that reflection can be powerful, and that the strongest action may be the one preceded by contemplation. When the young man in the forum looks into her mirror, he doesn't see condemnation. He sees possibility. He sees the branching paths that unfold from a single decision. He realizes that urgency isn't the same as necessity. The serpent around her arm shifts slightly, not in some form of threat, but in awareness. The lamp burns steadily, even in the daylight, because illumination isn't dependent on external darkness. It's an internal discipline. Prudentia's hope lies in her quiet assurance that wisdom can be cultivated. Unlike fate, which in Greek cosmology often appears immovable, prudence belongs to the realm of human participation. It's a virtue that can be practiced, it can be strengthened, and even embodied. Cicero insists that the virtues are interconnected, that one cannot possess true justice without prudence guiding it. This interdependence suggests that Prudentia is foundational, not peripheral. She is the architecture upon which ethical life is built. If the Greek goddess Nyx reminds us of primordial darkness and the limits of human power, Prudentia reminds us that within those limits, we're not helpless. We can choose with care. We can deliberate with love. We can act in ways that consider the unseen ripples of our behavior. In our own time, where speed often masquerades as strength, Prudentia stands at the threshold holding her lamp. She doesn't demand that we retreat from boldness, but she asks that boldness be informed. She doesn't suppress our desires, but she invites it into conversation with consequence. Her gift isn't the fear of making mistakes or errors, but it's the capacity for alignment. When the young man finally breaks the seal on the tablet, he does so with steady hands. Whatever he chooses from awareness rather than reaction. The forum continues to roar all around him, unaware that a quiet goddess has just altered the trajectory of a life. Prudentia rarely announces herself. She whispers at the hinge of action. She dwells in the pause between impulse and movement. She is the gentle insistence that seeing clearly is an act of love, both for oneself and for the world one inhabits. In honoring her, we honor the sacred art of discernment. We remember that wisdom isn't weakness, and that foresight isn't fear, and that to see ahead is to care deeply about what comes next.